Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. Karen, good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. So, who do we got tonight? You know, give people a quick thumbnail sketch of our guest.
It's the guy of the awesome mohawk. It is Nick...
No, not Mr. T.
No, but he has an awesome mohawk, too. No, yes. It's Nick Corey. He's a paranormal researcher and who's very fascinated by EVP. And he, I believe, just from the material that I've read about him, I almost called him Rick because that's your name.
Yeah.
Don't make
that distinction.
From everything that I've read about Nick, I gather that his quest is almost a little bit maybe of a spiritual quest with the ghost hunting thing, the paranormal investigation thing. And he's been on a few shows. He's been on My Ghost Story, and he's been on Fact or Fake, the Paranormal Files. So we have that coming up here in about 15 minutes.
We'll definitely have to talk to him. I always like to hear how, you know, regular mere mortals like ourselves, you know, fare when we go on the television shows. It's always interesting.
Well, it's, you know, usually it works out okay.
Yeah, I mean, you've done it.
Nobody
wants me, so
it's coming because I have had to alter my previous belief that if you're a paranormal investigator, you're not going to wind up on television, because it seems like ultimately everyone does.
Yeah, I know. I must be doing something right if I'm not on television just yet.
Your time is coming. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm yawning on the air. Yes, this show is boring me.
Yeah. No, I think it's me. It's boring. I'm boring the hell out of you.
I may or may not have been up late drinking lemon drops last night.
Oh, I love lemon drops.
Say, I know.
Those are the best.
They are.
It's kind of a girly drink, but, you know, they're still good.
No, it's not. I like and they do the lemon sugar around the rim of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the booze that's in the middle. I'll just lick the lemon sugar off the glass. Because
so
I am 12.
Everybody, pour some sugar on you. So you had that conference. You had Haunting for Hope. How'd that go?
Yes. Well, I remain a technological black hole when I go to conferences. Mm-hmm. I have never, ever, ever had a prepared PowerPoint at a conference that has worked at the conference. And this is I've done a lot of conferences, and every single one I have tested and retested, and they never work when I get there.
Okay.
So my track record remains intact. My name is Karen Frazier. I am a technological black hole, and I'm hoping there's a support group for that.
You know, we were saying, you know, because I have a little bit of the same problem, too, with it being a technical black hole. You know, my kid is, he's 16 months old now, so I figure in like another 8 months I should be able to bring him down here and he could, you know, whiz through everything on the computer and show me how to do the other thing.
I don't even think 8 months. I think 8 months is putting it out a little far. I'm pretty sure that my dog could come in here and do stuff better than I can. I'm not good with the technology.
Yeah. I am still learning, so...
But that's why we have people on our team who are good with the technology. So anyway, the conference was good. Got to see our favorite guest, Neil McNeil, and as always,
yes.
A good speaker, and I'm really excited. I think he's on next week, so that's pretty exciting.
Always love talking to Neil because I like getting the... my background is, even though I, you know, don't have the education of the parapsychologist, my background is in studying the paranormal in that way, so I always love talking to the parapsychologists.
Yeah, well, he was very awesome, and people seemed really interested. And, of course, I got to speak about something different. I spoke about reincarnation,
okay.
And it's a subject that, well, I don't talk about it here on the radio much. It's one that I've been very immersed in probably the past 6 or 7 years, actually. I studied it very in depth and had, of course, the past life regression hypnotherapy sessions. And I've interviewed a lot of people from the magazine that have had some reincarnation experiences. And so it's when I'm not talking ghosts, reincarnation is one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, I think reincarnation is definitely, well, I mean, let's face it, reincarnation fits so nicely into that because, let's face it, we wouldn't be in this field if we didn't have those questions like, what happens to us when we die? I mean, that is like, that's the greatest question that mankind could possibly have.
And realistically, we will not know. I mean, even with all of the research we do, there's nothing proving any of it. You have data that correlates with other data. You have a lot of anecdotal evidence that correlates with other anecdotal evidence. But until the day we die, we're not going to know. And so even as much as we think we know, it remains one of life's great mysteries.
Yeah. Well, I was recently reading a book by Lloyd Auerbach. You know, he's another one of our favorite guests, and I really enjoyed this book. And he said that no matter what you do and no matter what you say, you can never show evidence that's good enough that will make the world completely believe that this exists, because it's all so incredibly subjective, and I can't help but believe that.
Yeah, as my friend Darren Thompson of Whisper, Washington State Paranormal Investigative Research, TAP's family member, says, you know, for a true skeptic, no evidence is never enough, and for a true believer, no evidence is needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So it's, you know what, and that's kind of the situation that my partner Amy and I were in this last weekend.
Yes, good segue. I was going to get you to it if you didn't, so here we go.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the situation that we were in.
I feel like we should be playing back in the saddle again, because we were indeed back in the saddle.
You know what, thank you. I mean, it's been 6 or 7 months, and I was really honestly afraid that I had, like, lost my touch somehow, but apparently I haven't, because we generated a ton of EVPs. But, and actually, I think we're going to be able to play two here tonight before we go to our guest. Yeah,
That's
I am
awesome.
Too, because I finally have my own group, and, you know, after 20 years of belonging to this, that, and the other group and all that, I finally have my own, and I can finally show my own evidence, and, you know, whoever that was in the forum who called me a fraud won't think I'm a fraud anymore, but
nobody thinks
I'm
a fraud.
No. Well, I know who this person is.
The people
was,
who know you and love you think that you are not a fraud.
Okay, that very good then.
There you go.
Now, here's the thing with this couple. They're friends of ours, and they're hardcore atheists. So, of course, you know, for an atheist to say, "Hey, we got something weird in our house," and call, you know, a nerd like us in, you know, nerds like us in, they must have to think that there's something really there. But we must have generated 8 or 9, maybe a dozen EVPs at this at this residence. Possibly a photograph that I'm still kind of sort of on the fence about. But even though they've had experiences, they've heard all this stuff, they've seen this picture, they still don't believe in ghosts.
Well, but, you know, there's tons and tons and tons of other explanations.
Right, absolutely. And well, that's like what, you know, Lloyd Auerbach said. He's like, this stuff is so highly subjective.
Yep. And, you know, I deal with that with Techie McScience Geek, and Kevin, Jim's son, my stepson, is that these guys are both very grounded in the hard scientific stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think Jim mostly believes in ghosts, but he's still not so sure what EVPs are. He's still pretty. There's a pretty high threshold for him to go, okay, yeah, maybe you've got something there.
Yeah, well, it's you know, I have that the same with my wife, Jamie. I mean, she is actually a true skeptic, not a cynic, but a true skeptic. So it takes a lot for her to really say, okay, yeah, I hear something. She's heard EVPs from the old group that I used to be in. And, you know, unfortunately I was never able to share anything from them because of, you know, legal type stuff. But, she actually heard an EVP, and she like heard it right now, and she thought it was the most amazing thing. And I think that, you know, set her a little bit more towards, you know, being a believer towards this.
So is that one of the ones we're going to listen to right now? Cheryl, are you ready with those?
No, it's not. This is from like a couple of years ago. But yeah, I know. I wish I could play, because it's the only EVP that I've ever captured where I had a go an apparition swear at me. Sorry,
very good.
There. But yeah, sure. Can we, you know, play those? We got two. So, but I'm going to set this up for everybody real quick. We were in a girl. We were in these friends' house, and their older daughter Stephanie. She claims that she's getting poked and prodded by something in the middle of the night. So we went in there, and you know, of course, doing in, you know, the sound recording, you know, whatever EVPs, and you know, this is, we got two that I could say I'm very confident in, and it's two that I could say that whatever is in this home is in fact a true apparition, intelligent, interactive, as well as purposeful. So Cheryl, if you got those, can we hear them?
Yeah, I need to load it up. I'm sorry, I thought we were playing it later on the show. Just give me one second.
Oh, okay. Well, we can fill.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've got it right here.
Let's fill with silence.
Yeah, I just need to go to, let's see. We have two, right, Rick? So
yeah.
Finding
actually,
the time.
Two within the same file.
455, okay.
And I hope to have a little bit more because, you know, even though this was the most active room, this is not where we got the most EVPs. We got an amazing amount of EVPs in a room that doesn't really have a lot of activity, but there was something in there.
See, I like that. I like when you get lots of EVPs in a very short time. To me, it's a pretty incredible thing when you're going through and you've got, you know, 10 minutes of audio and you're getting an EVP a minute or something. It's pretty surprising.
I think it's really incredibly rare for that kind of thing. You know, it's like you're never really going to get that EVP that is like, you know, you're hearing like an entire paragraph that's being said. You may hear like snippets of a conversation between two apparitions, or you might just hear the one, but it's like you get maybe 2-3 words. It's incredibly rare to get an entire sentence. In my experience.
Yep. So Cheryl, how are we doing?
We're good.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and start the recording at 390. Rick, I believe you said there's an EVP at about 511, but we'll give it some time to get there. Okay. So do you want to let them know anything about this first one or just play it and then we'll discuss?
Well, I think I did a little bit where it was like, you know, we were in this girl's room and of course I'm asking questions and at the 5:11 mark, I get an absolute answer and it's a male voice. So, you know, I'm going to let our listeners judge. I know what it says and Amy Egan, she knows what it says. And Jeff Grunow actually authenticated these EVPs for me. So, you know, let's start and let's listen.
Okay, here we go.
People, EVP format, doesn't matter. This is Rick and Amy in Stephanie's bedroom. Amy, can you give me a voice, Brent?
This is Amy.
And this is Rick. I'm addressing anybody that may be in this room with us right now. My name is Rick and this is Amy. We've been asked to come here by the Marsalas because apparently there is somebody that is in this room and that is trying.
Was that it?
No.
That was an iPhone.
Yeah, oh. that was Amy's phone.
I heard something in the background. I thought somebody said yes.
No,
okay,
you hear like an actual voice.
Okay, here we go.
No, that was an iPhone. Keep going.
Is that you?
iPhone 7.
No, it wasn't me. So that there was somebody in this room that's trying to make contact with Stephanie. Is there a male presence in this room with us currently?
Okay, I have no idea why the audio recording just ended.
Okay.
That you sent me. It says it's 1 minute. I have no idea why it did that. It says it's 1 minute. I guess the conversion didn't. Sorry.
Okay.
Conversion obviously didn't work.
So we can always try it.
What a letdown.
Okay. Show. Sorry, guys. There really is something there.
We got the iPhone, though. So that's good. She got a text.
Well, no, because, I mean, Amy did say, no, that wasn't my phone. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was the daughter's phone, but we'll try it again some other time. I promise you, you know, there really is something there. So,
all right. Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
Come back with Nick Corey. So stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
If you are a business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
In her riveting novel, Break in the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. Tonight joining us, we have a really excellent guest. We're going to be talking to Nick Corey, the founder of Jasper Haunts, as well as the lead investigator, channeler, and EVP specialist.
And awesomest Mohawk around.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
So, hey Nick, welcome to the Underground.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Great. So we were talking off air, and I don't think that Rick should have asked that question off air, because I think you gave a great answer. The Mohawk actually plays a role in the work that you do.
Yes, it's kind of like my antenna, kind of tunes me into my crown chakra. That's what I believe, anyways. I can feel that, you know, the spirits touch my mouth and stuff when we're on investigations. So it's interesting. Kind of tracks them.
So if you're wearing a hat, does the same thing happen? Or, I mean, does it dampen you if you have a hat on or something?
Since I've been investigating, I've always had a mohawk. So I think I tried a different haircut before to do a show, and that was about it. But they didn't bother me much when it was flat. So I think they like it when it's standing up. They match with it. They'll, like, I'll feel something just touch me across the head.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, when I see a dude with a mohawk across the room, I got to tell you, I'm very tempted to go touch it. So I understand.
Yeah, some people call me iguana.
Now that's a cool nickname. We're going to start calling you that from now on. Nick Iguana Corey.
You know what? It's a badass nickname.
Yeah, it is.
They call me Squirrel. So, you know, Nick, let's, you know, I always like to ask this whenever we have, you know, of course, psychical researchers, paranormal investigators, and whatnot on the show. What is it exactly that attracted to you, to this field of study? Did you have some kind of personal experience that led you here?
Yes. Actually, my grandfather, he had cancer. And I took care of him through his dying experience and, you know, helped hospice with that stuff. Right. And through his eyes, he told me about death and what was getting ready to happen to him. He could see the other side. And so he shared with me all these things, and that's how I really got into it. Because I was always fascinated as a child. But through his eyes, the door of death was, like, opened, and he shared with me this beauty in the other side. He was going and what was going to be happening when he got over there. And so, you know, and he told me about the entities that were in the room with him, that they looked like us, but they were different. And so he's the one that kind of unlocked that. It was always there, I believe, but he unlocked that door, and I kind of just went on through it.
Yeah, I think that that's a really beautiful experience to have, and I know that some people probably cringe when I say that, but to be there with somebody as they're dying and to see what they're seeing, I think...
Yeah, it wasn't scary, like other deaths I'd been around, you know, tragic or whatever. We had time to prepare, and he was ready, and he was, you know, he was very religious till the end, and then he'd became spiritual right towards the end, like a couple weeks before he started telling me things. And he talked about, I thought, you know, angels were visiting or something. And he's like, they look like us, but they're different. And I said, well, what are they saying? He goes, they don't want me to tell you. And I said, well, you tell them they're not taking you anywhere yet. You know, I wasn't letting go of him. And we had to deal with a couple negative ones, too, that were scaring him. But I got rid of those. And, you know, so he'd feel safe. But, it was beautiful, like, when he died, when he actually died, a ray of light came through the window, and it was shining on his face, and it was weird. I just knew what to do. I got a smudge stick out and went around the body and just did a blessing, and he went to happy hunting ground. That's what he wanted. And wow. So then I started, you know, recording EVP after that. I saw that movie White Noise that came out in 2005, and it kind of pumped it even more. And basically, I got addicted to doing EVPs. I mean, I did like 12 hours a day, you know, just, and it was like two-way communication. I turn it off, talk to him, turn it back on. You know, I had, you know, tangled up with this one spirit, Eva, which I sent you that clip. She stuck around for 8 months and talked to me.
Wow.
So we had some interesting things happen at that house.
Was it at your grandfather's house, or was this where you lived, house?
It was my house where I used to live in Joplin, Missouri, before the tornado took it last year.
I'm sorry. What a shame.
Sorry about that.
So I want to, before we get into your EVPs, because I'm really interested, and I know you've sent us a few, and Rick and I love EVPs.
Karen's up on me on the EVP.
We play it. We turn EVPs into a game to see who's right. I'm winning.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but I noticed just from your website, and even when I'm just speaking to you now, that it seems as if a lot of people are very scientific investigators, and it seems to me that you're more like I am. You're in it because the spiritual aspect of it is what pulls you. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I'll use scientific methods, you know, through equipment, but that's for others, because I'm a true believer in the phenomenon. So, you know, I've contacted many spirits, and they've contacted me, and I've even allowed them in my body, so I know it's real.
Sure.
Right.
And but I want to share that with people about death, you know, that we don't die, that we go on, our spirit lives on, and so that's why, that's why I'm in it.
And it can eliminate so much fear if you truly understand that we survive physical death.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Nick, but before we get into that, now I work regularly with a psychic medium in my group, Foundation Psychical Research. And I have witnessed her doing a channeling session. Now, do you do an unconscious channel, or do you do a conscious channel?
Well, I used to do the trance channeling. I stopped that. But now I just do, I'm allowed to access at all times, I guess. So I guess it'd be conscious.
Okay. You know, now, when you do a channel, do you do, like, you know, a traditional sort of investigation and then you allow yourself to go into this channeling?
Usually, I'll go in first and pick the hot spots through the spirits. They'll tell me, like, where to set up the cameras and everything, so I trust my spirit group. Mm-hmm. And then, if we want to channel, you know, I call it bumping me. When they start bumping me, then I'll start channeling, and I always make a joke, spiritual Tourette's. I'll tell them, okay, because we never know what's going to happen on an investigation, so I tell them, I'm not being rude, it's spiritual Tourette's, you know. So if it starts happening, it starts flowing, I just go with it, and if they're quiet, I just do a regular investigation. But I always allow them to come in and help me figure out where to put the cameras and stuff like that.
So, when you channel, are you there, or do you go somewhere?
It's changed. The frequencies have changed in the last year for me. Everything's heightened, so it's easier access, I would say, now. It's accessible all the time from where I am. I don't have to, like, go out of my body or go to the cosmos, or it's just here all the time. The information is being fed. It's just if I'm tuning into it, I think.
Mm-hmm. So you can turn it on and off.
I think so, yeah. I've learned that. Because going through what we went through, I had to learn to turn it off when we survived that, because there were so many bothering us, you know. And so it's a challenge, because some people say they that visualize a door, shutting a door or turning an exit sign on, you know, saying, you know, be quiet. I've just learned to kind of tune them out when I don't want to deal with it. Sometimes I've got to deal with this existence and I can't deal with what they're trying to say or do. So mm-hmm. kind of turn off the light bulb or something.
Yeah,
kinda
right.
Shift. But no. Allow them next to me to set by me instead of coming inside me. I don't share space with them in my body anymore.
Okay.
Because I think I was too trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Too trusting.
Well, I think that you really do run a risk of having some. Now, I mean, I really don't believe. I don't go in for the whole demon thing, Nick. You know, the whole fallen angel idea. But you know, there are, you know, even human spirits that are, you know, really not very friendly. Have you ever had anything try to gain access into you that you were like, "Hey, this is just bad news, man"?
I felt some things bump my energy field, but I wouldn't say they were trying to gain access, but they would. Bump me and let me know they're there. So,
okay. Yeah,
some negative frequencies.
So do you think that they're negative entities, or do you think that they're spirits of people who are assholes?
Well, there's good and bad in everybody.
Sure.
You know, and so they're just without their bodies, and I believe however they were, you know, here, they're going to be that way over there, unless they've learned their lessons, of course. So, yeah, if they're a jerk here, then I'm going to, when they bump me, if they can get my frequency, then they'll be the same kind of energy coming through. I don't think we change much unless we evolve, you know, while we're in these bodies. I don't think our attitude or energy or personality, all that, or spirit, if it doesn't learn, I don't think we're going to change and get to the frequency we need to let go of that stuff. So that's why
True.
I think we're here.
So then how do you get to the frequency you need to be? Through series of lives? Do you do it when you're on the other side? How do you think that works?
You mean with living in the human?
Well, you said I don't think that we get to the frequencies that we need to be while we're here to progress.
Well, it's the levels of existence. I believe that when we've come here, we've been here in different places before. So lessons learned, you know, it's like school, I think. There's different mm-hmm. levels of existence when we leave here, and if we can't get it together while we're here, then we're going to have to go, you know, come back and be on the same level that we are.
Sure.
So some of them, I think they keep coming back, and that's why they're angry. They're not getting it, and they just keep bumping and coming back around, and so they're not learning what they need to. They're not opening up to it while they're here in the flesh, so that I think it makes it harder on them when they're in the spirit, you know, getting ready to reincarnate.
Right. Hey, Nick, let me ask you something. How do you deal with this current skepticism, even in the actually, it's almost an exclusionary attitude that many paranormal investigators seem to have towards, you know, people like you with your gift? It's perfectly normal to folks like Karen and I who have been doing this for, you know, years and years. But how do you deal with that kind of skepticism? Have you come up against anything like that?
Oh, sure. I've been on different shows before. Well, they'll just rip you to pieces because of parapsychology or whatever. I just say to each their own. I'm not pushing my beliefs off on anyone,
sure.
But I'm here to share my experiences with people, and then they can decide from there what they want to believe. But
mm-hmm.
I know I'm here to share information, and the information that I get is information that I could not know. So sometimes you prove them wrong by just doing it, you know, just channeling the information and letting
right.
them know, hey, I'm for real. So usually a spirit will come through that will give confirmation to whoever's asking just to let them know, hey, this person's for real, you know.
Yeah.
And then it puts them at ease, whoever the client is or skeptic. Now,
right.
some of them, they just want to rip you apart no matter what. They're in too much in the ego state to deal with it, so... You know,
and I like,
ego.
Yeah, but you know what? I like that you say that because I was chatting earlier with Phil Summers. I don't know if you know him. He's calls himself the Ghost Box Kid. But we were talking earlier about, you know, the bigger and better website and how you talk about ego. There does seem to be a certain amount of that in the field right now. you know, like it's I have to have better evidence than you, you know, keeping up with the Joneses kind of an attitude. And for me, that's sad. You know, I mean, I come from a very psychical research kind of background, and it's like, man, I don't even have a Facebook page for my group. You know, and it just seems that there's like this massive ego that's involved there. And I think that that's what drives that kind of dislike and hatred towards, you know, people like yourself who have that gift.
It puts wedges there, obstacles for sure.
And, absolutely.
I've even met some teams where I live that they will not, you know, work with you. If they're scientific and you're spiritual, then there's a wedge. And there's no getting around it. And so, like you said, when they're in that state, whatever state of ego it is, because we all have it.
Sure.
Whatever state it is, if I come across a medium that's very arrogant or something like that, you know, she'll say, what do you do? I'll know right away by her energy when we connect if, hey, are you going to hang with this person? Or, you know, you can tell.
Yeah.
And I've met a few that just think they're higher and mightier. It's a gift. I believe we all can access it, that it's nothing that the gods have given me that they haven't given you. It's like something we all have. The universe has opened us up to it. And I believe this is an evolutionary thing going on with the stars aligning and the 2012 thing. I believe that everybody's kind of at a different frequency right now anyways.
Sure. See, the thing that really I love when people are like, well, I'm a scientist. I do this scientifically. I'm, you know, and it's like, first off, I don't believe I've ever referred to myself as a scientist in the 30 years that I've been researching the paranormal. And I love when I talk to these guys or, you know, even females, for example, they're like, you know, I'm really scientific in my approach because, you know,
I'm
like a
scientist. Are you using scientific method?
Right.
Are you developing a hypothesis and testing it with variables? And
exactly. All that. Sorry.
No, but what I'm getting at is you talk to these people and it's like, you know, the next thing you know, you're driving up in your local burger joint and this person's handing you their, you know, your hamburger, or this person waits on you at the local bar, you know, and it's like, it's the idea that it's like, can we just be honest in this field right now? Get rid of all the drama, get rid of all the ego. If you are legitimately trying to answer these questions, then be honest with yourself. Let's face it, there is really no use of the scientific method here, because it's not like you can trap a ghost, hold it indefinitely, and make it perform like a circus, make it perform like a circus seal for you.
And plus, it's really boring.
Exactly. So it's like, let's just be honest with each other. You know, it's like, hey, I don't understand this as much as you do, but hell, man, let's try to work together to try to figure this out. But then again, you know, we got that with the Democrats and the Republicans in our country. So, you know, it's almost useless
even
trying.
There's competition in everything. You know what I mean? Like, everywhere now. It's just crazy.
That's actually one of the things. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wanted to just mention, I did meet a man once that said he could catch a ghost. And I was very
scared. I would love to see that.
Okay. He is pretty popular up in Illinois.
Well, what's his name?
Gary Hawkins, and I can't remember his website, but if you look up Gary Hawkins, the ghost catcher, he claims to be able to catch a ghost with his hand and hold it there and do whatever he wants to it.
I'm in Chicago. I've never heard of this guy before, but I know that, like, in Malaysia, for example, there are shamanistic traditions where they believe that they can actually catch a spirit inside of a what is it? Those big trees that the pandas eat. What are those?
Bamboo.
That they can actually capture a spirit in a bamboo and hold it there indefinitely, and the shaman can release it back into the spiritual realm. There are those kind of traditions, though.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's the height of arrogance. I don't know, and you may disagree with me, but I believe that saying that I am going to take responsibility, not only responsibility, but dominion over the path of a soul by forcing it to go home or whatever I think it should do, I think that's arrogant, and I think it's disrespectful of another's path, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, it's like you grabbing, like this guy said he can catch a ghost. It would be like him grabbing somebody off the street and saying, I'm going to hold you here till we interview you, and then I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. It's control. It's some kind of control thing, and I wanted nothing to do with it. I was like, no, this is weird. I'm not going to polarize another person's energy field and hold them against their will. I don't believe in that.
Well, it's like the whole provocation thing.
Yeah.
So along those lines, because you sound like you're very much about understanding and acknowledging the will of the spirit just as much as your own wants and wills. Before you channel, then, do you seek permission?
Before I channel?
Yeah.
Before I started doing all this?
No.
I prayed and chanted. Mm-hmm. I would do rituals, smudging, different things to protect myself.
Yeah, well,
before I would go into this state. And I used to do trance channeling, which was dangerous, I think.
What is trance channeling?
I would go into a trance state and allow spirits to come inside and speak through me.
See, I just misunderstood what you were saying, because when you just explained it, that was like the dumbest question I've ever asked on this show. And I've asked doozies.
It hurt. It was too painful. I don't want to ever do that again.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's because one guy had been electrocuted to death, and so I felt all those jolts of the energy in it. It's very painful, emotionally and physically. So I chose after that to not do that type anymore.
So what's the difference between what you do, the channeling, and what I do, which is I walk into a haunted location, or even sometimes sit here in my bedroom, and communicate. Their words come into my head, their feelings. What's the difference between you channeling
You're channeling. I mean, you can call it what you want, but it's the same. Just like if you pick up a EVP recorder, you're channeling. If you're recording and you capture a spirit, I believe they come to us through all these devices and to the people. They choose their pathway through to us. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all channeling them, giving them the option to come to us.
Okay.
Well, let's face it. I mean, right. Well, let's face it. I mean, even though people don't want to admit it, even just taking EVPs really is sort of part of the physical mediumship. Whether they want to admit it or not, it's still you're communicating with something that doesn't have lungs or vocal cords or a voice box or a physical being for that matter. So. For me, I think the only way that it is it's kind of a telepathy thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's your psychic ability right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to, I know that you've done a couple of shows, and I actually watched, because you were kind enough to send a link to the YouTube of your Time on My Ghost story, and you have a pretty compelling piece of video footage in that. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Is that the one with the child spirit?
In the school, yeah.
Yeah, the Prosperity School. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was, it's a bed and breakfast now, but it was built in 1907. And before that, it used to be artillery shelter for, the Civil War. And they turned it into a school, I think it was 1907, it was real early. They went for the school. And it was a school for like 60 years. And so the owners, they believed that there were some children trapped there, energy of the people that owned it before the people have it now. So I had heard all kinds of stories, so I went out there and met the new owners, which they're pretty spiritual people. And they let me come into the Prosperity, it's called Prosperity School Bed and Breakfast, and they let us set up and do some stuff. And the first night I set up, I got this really strange energy on a regular camera. It wasn't even night vision. It had a flat top, and it was a rant, like looked like a giant orb. But you would hear piano music, and it made all these weird sounds. Like you heard all this residual stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And to see it, it came right up underneath my camera, right in view, like it wanted to be seen. And then so I kept going back, and set up again, and that's where we captured that apparition of the child. What we believe is child. It looks like he had knickers on. And those days, they wore those.
Sure.
Right. Made sense, but we got a lot of residual, and really strange stuff happens at that place. I mean, this lady was in the restroom, and it, something locked her in the bathroom, pushed a chair up against the door.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And people...
That's definitely not residual.
Cigars. Yeah, that's there's definitely some active stuff going on there. And the children, one night they were cooking downstairs, and they asked something about eating food, so they were well aware of what was going on downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
when they came up to me. I would just go off by myself and just kind of try to talk to them and see. And I've captured men, women, children, footsteps. We'll be doing a seance upstairs on carpet, and you would hear all these footsteps coming towards you, like they were on a hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play that back, you'd be like, whoa, that's weird, you know, because you hear our voices in the now, and then you hear this residual on top of it.
Well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
you know, EMF detector would be going off in the background, so it's like you got three levels of stuff going on.
Yeah, the video that I reference is a really impressive an impressive piece of evidence. I'm usually fairly skeptical of stuff that shows up on night vision camera because a lot of it can be attributed to like IR shadowing and stuff. But yeah. This mm-hmm. is not that.
I've never actually seen the video.
Yeah, it's very purposeful. Right, I'm going to find very the link strange. And stick it in the chat room so that people can go watch it because I have it. Cheryl sent it.
There's another one we did. I don't know if you saw. It's a Fort Scott one. Fort Scott, Kansas.
No, I didn't see that.
There was a murder in the basement and stuff, and they didn't tell us till after the investigation about that part. Mm-hmm. And we went down to the basement and we set the camera up and left. And there were no doors on the doorways in the basement. And you hear this old-fashioned lock pop, and then you see this shadow person walk right in front of the camera, and my camera's trying to focus on it. It's really weird. And we did that one for my ghost story as well. But it was like the creepiest place I've ever been. And I don't get creeped out much, but a spirit got right in my face and was threatening me as I was trying to go down the stairs. And mm-hmm. it's live on the show. You can see me be, I'm like, whoa, it's in my face, you know.
And, wow.
So you see like a bit of the investigation mm-hmm. as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, I would say that is the worst one I've ever been on. If I had good footage, great footage,
yeah.
But it, the guy went crazy and hacked his family to pieces. So, you know,
oh, my goodness.
They should have told us that before we go. I don't want to put my team in jeopardy with, you know, spirits that are that angry and stuff. I don't want to take a time to have them attach.
Yeah. I mean, that may not be anger. That may be derangement, too. And,
yeah.
You know, even though you tend to think of mental illness as something that's chemical that has to do with the body, I often wonder if mental illness is also of the spirit, whether there's a damage to the energy of the spirit or something like that as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, hey, I wanted to ask you, when you work with clients and you go to these people who are having these experiences, I know many teams would go in and they would say, here's the evidence we have, and we conclude that probably means that you've got a ghost or a haunting or whatever. And to me, that's never felt like enough because I want to help people. So
yeah.
The way that I believe that you help people is by putting what you've found in a spiritual framework. And I was wondering, because you seem like the kind of guy that maybe that's what you do.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to leave them in fear or, you know, after you capture something, say, oh, well, here you go, you've got this in your house. You know, that scares people. We've got to think how they think, you know, what they're thinking, kind of put yourself in their place. And, a lot of people that call always think it's the worst.
Sure.
Well, we have television to thank for that.
Yeah, they always go, it's a demon or something like that. And so I tell them, you know, don't be afraid. Let's evaluate. Let's see. So I'll go and evaluate what's going on and kind of see before I even take the team in there. Most of the time I'll go and do it and see what's going on.
Sure.
There's a few of them that have called that there's something not quite right with them, and you don't even want to go there because
yes,
you know, somebody's seeing the carpet move and stuff like that. There, you know, you got to get a check.
Yeah.
A check on some of them. There was a few fruitcakes, you know.
Yes,
that needed serious help that could put you in serious danger when they tell you they have a gun, and if you come to their house, they're going to kill the ghost with a gun. You don't want to go there.
No. No, but I just always wonder, and, you know, I'm thinking of, for instance, a popular television show where the guy shows up at the door, although he's no longer on the show, and says, we're here to help. And yet I've never really I've never seen them do anything that to me, that I would interpret as help. They go in and they say, yep, we got this. I mean, how does that help? And so I like...
That just scares you.
Yeah.
The normal person that's not into this, if they showed me something like that, I would be like, I don't want that in my house.
Right. Right. So that's what I say. So then how do you find the way to help?
Well, one thing, I don't believe anything's like haunted. There's energy everywhere. People are everywhere. Spirits are everywhere. So I don't really believe something's like haunted. Some people believe things get haunted. I believe that there's energy. You know, residual energy and active, intelligent energy around us all over the place. And I believe we can have both occurring at the same time, same place. But yes. I don't believe, like, this place is haunted, that one's not, you know.
Yes.
I just think it's everywhere.
Yes.
And if we are becoming aware of it, then we can tune into it. But
that's my theory. Some people are more likely to notice it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And in the daytime, you know, people say, well, can you get EVPs in the day? You can get it any time if you're paying attention to it.
Yeah, you don't need to walk around in the dark.
Daytime, no. I'm lying. I get EVPs in the daytime all the time.
Yeah, I really don't believe in a haunting.
I think you're right, and I actually have said that, I believe. And I also don't necessarily, I believe that maybe there are some souls that get trapped or choose, not even trapped. I believe that there are some souls that choose not to move on for a time for whatever reason, because they're concerned about their family or because they feel like they're and unsolved. But at the same time, I think a lot of the things that we encounter as apparitions and ghosts are souls that are coming back and forth from the other side for whatever reason.
Yeah, I agree with that. Back and forth. Yeah,
and I think a lot of people get caught up in this. They're trapped. If they're here and I can...
Oh, yes. That bothers me. Trapped. I don't believe that.
Yeah, and you have to make them move on.
I don't know, man. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I would hate it if, you know, I'm like, you know, kicking it in my house, drinking a beer and watching the Super Bowl. And, you know, somebody comes into my house and says, you know what? You got to leave right now. We don't care if it's your house because, you know, these people, they want you to leave. I'd be like, get the hell out of here.
Trapped in football, dude. Move on. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and free will plays such a huge role in, I mean, you know, we have free will as human beings. So what makes anybody think that we wouldn't have it as a spirit?
Yeah, and I mean, like, the spirit that I connected with, Eva, that stayed for 8 months, she stayed because she wanted to. I didn't, like, keep her there. And then just one day, she just decided to leave, and I don't know where she went.
No,
but she went wherever she wanted to go, you know. And she, every now and again, I'll hear her say hello or something. But, you know, I believe we have soul groups, soul families, and
we remember when we
come back.
Yeah,
and we remember, and we're connected, everybody, and, you know, like, this broadcast, everyone that's listening is supposed to be. And it'll draw in who's supposed to be. I believe in the synchronicity and all that stuff.
Me too. You're my guy. So my friend William says, and he, that he has never, ever, and neither have I, he has never, ever, ever had a spirit say to him, you need to help me move on. He said that he's never actually had a spirit really ask for help, at least not a sentient, conscious spirit say, help me. Have you ever had a spirit that's actually asked for help?
The first recording I ever got at my house said, please help me.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, how do I know he was talking to me? I hear them talking to each other all the time, so how do we know they're really talking to us unless I say a direct question, tell me what my name is, you know, and right. start mm-hmm. engaging them with something like that. And I do that with the RTEVP. I use that to show people how they interact with us, and I'll ask them to say my name and stuff, and they're able to do that. But yeah. How do we really know who they're talking to? I mean, if they're just all these different, unless you're really getting some, you know, like EMF going and other things, they could just be talking just like we are on the phone, and we're picking up some of their conversation. So right. it's hard to tell unless you're getting direct responses what's really going on.
Now, let me ask you this, Nick. Do you get like a complete sense of satisfaction, or that I am a total badass when you are able to not only capture what it is that you've been...
I thought I was crazy.
What I'm saying is channeling, and then you actually are able to catch it while doing an EVP. I mean, that would make me think that I'm like the coolest. Do you, without being egotistical, do you get that sense when that happens for you?
The confirmation, you mean?
The confirmation, yeah.
I do get excited when they interact, you know, and but I wouldn't say I was the shit or something like that, you know, because
seem relatively without ego, I will tell you that.
Yeah, you seem very modest.
Well, I think losing all my stuff helped that. I wasn't saying I was in a bad place before, but it changes you.
Yeah.
The spirit realm changes you, definitely. They're going to wake you up when you need to get your stuff together. But I'd say that I definitely have ego, but I don't let it override in this paranormal stuff.
Good.
Of course, I love to interact with them. Sometimes I'm nervous about interacting with some of them because you never know what's going to come across. So I've been protecting myself more and doing a little bit, you know, doing things a little bit different. So I'm more cautious when interacting because I don't want to get certain vibrations attached to me, because a lot of them get on me and I have to have my friend get them off me. Oh, you know, come home with me.
Yeah,
and then we
I
have
hear
stuff
that
going on, and
we
have a child, and
try to. I understand. I feel your pain. I get it.
Yeah,
ghosts really like me, and they'd like to come home with me. So I understand. So let's do this. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, I actually want to ask what you would say to people who maybe are having these thoughts and experiences that are probably channeling types experiences, but they don't know what to do with that. So let's talk about that when we come back. Until then, let's take a break. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. And for the last hour or so, we've been having a fascinating conversation with Nick Corey. Now, Nick, when we were on break, I did go and look at this video. And I already told you what I thought about it. And I was telling you about how my wife hates watching paranormal shows with me because I sit there and pick it apart and, you know, constantly talk about everything. But I remember seeing this video now. And like I told you, I was so impressed, and it was the most astonishing piece of video that I have ever seen in, you know, my relatively long career in this field. And I say kudos to you, man, for actually capturing something like this. But you know what? Before we go to Karen's question, didn't you have a problem with this video with Fact or Faked?
Fact or Faked, I did a video for them. It was actually Skyfish.
Okay. Okay.
Now, you were the Skyfish guy.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
And they're the ones that threw the bait across. And
That was
weird. But I did different things. I was a Skyfish guy. They made fun of.
Did they make fun of you? I just remember the Skyfish.
Yeah. Well, they tried to disprove it and
debunk as they use on TV. Like,
debunking or whatever. That was kind of weird. But this prosperity, the way the apparition came out is, I go in and talk to him. I say, hey, I'm going to set up a camera. If you want to come out and show yourself, you're more than welcome to come out and let us see what you look like. So sure. I kind of talk to him like I would you. And it's kind of a coaxing, but I don't see it as a negative thing. So that's how I approached them, to get them to show themselves.
Well, that's, I think that you can... Yeah, I'm sorry, Karen, I interrupted you. I apologize.
Okay, I'm done.
I was just going to say, I think that you can provoke the spirit without being complete and total asshole about it.
Yeah.
I don't like the word provoke. I think that you can encourage.
Oh, that's even better. I like that. Encourage, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't do what that Zach guy does. no, I would not dare talk to any people like that.
Oh, he's got crap that follows him home all the time. Trust me. He's told me about some of it. He's talked about it on our radio show. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, he.
I'd look for a little payback, too.
Yeah. So yeah. Say I am a young person that comes up to you and says, you know, I feel like I'm hearing voices and I'm seeing things and I'm having thoughts that aren't my own. What do I do? What do you tell that person?
First, I would ask them what their spiritual belief system was, because I wouldn't want to get in on, you know, if it's some church type thing, because I'm open-minded. I'm not against any type of religion. But I'd ask them what their faith was, basically, first off, kind of find out where they are there. And if they didn't have a belief system, then I probably wouldn't encourage them to do anything with it, because I wouldn't be sure where they're going with their energy here.
Sure.
You know, most people, even some of my family members, they don't have a belief system. And I've taken them around this type of stuff, and they're very skeptical about it. So mm-hmm. I don't know that they'd get that far if they didn't have one. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they had one and they said that, I would ask them, well, you know, you do have to ask them if there's any mental illness in their family, of course.
Sure.
You know, before you go in and you got to, especially if it's something like that, if they're saying that. Because sometimes people are on drugs and all different things. So
right.
You want to make sure it's authentic before you go in and take your team in. So, and if they're asking for help, then, you know, I would try probably to channel something to get something for them to help them trust me so that I could figure out what's going on with them.
Right.
Okay. And I would tell them not to be afraid of their gifts if this is the case, if it's, they're dealing with gifts and not mental illness type
right.
stuff. Yeah. And I would tell them to embrace their gift. If it's their time, they're being woken up, there's a reason. And embrace it. And of course you're going to be afraid if you start seeing apparitions and all kinds
sure.
of stuff.
Sure, of course.
It's going to put people right into panic.
Sure.
So I would just tell them that, you know, like the way things are going right now, I believe the veil is at its thinnest. And
yes.
there's a lot of people waking up right now into this, and they don't know what's going on, and they're probably afraid. And it's all completely normal. We're all going through different frequency changes right now.
Yes.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually. So it's like the whole package. So I would just tell them to embrace it, embrace whatever their faith is, and trust that to get them through to the next level.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I like
that. Because if they don't have a belief system, that I really couldn't direct them where to go, because usually they won't even believe in this stuff if they don't.
Right.
Right.
Or they're going to just want to be skeptical.
Right.
You know? Well, I actually had speaking of that, I actually had an investigation once where they were a very religious family, born again Christians. They believed that they had something very evil, perhaps even a demon in their house. And it's so funny how you talk about, you know, belief system, because at the end of the investigation, we had to show them it's not a demon in your house. It's actually their aunt who had passed away. To them, there was like, it was heaven or hell, man. There was none of this sticking around afterwards.
Sure.
And we tried showing that to them, and it's like, they're like, no, we need to get our pastor in here to have this thing gotten rid of. It's like, all right, you know.
And Aunt Mabel is probably being called this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had two religious, really religious. One was Pentecostal call, and she said that she thought something got in her daughter, and she's really afraid. And I told her, well, you need to go to the church with it. You know, I don't do demonology and deity possessions and all that. I know people that do, and I could send them to the right father or something, but I don't.
That's always
our
response.
Doors are coming open and closed. We've had some strange things going on. You know when not to go, basically. I trust my spirit and intuition.
Sure.
When not to engage.
So do you have a...
Times you...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. There's just a few times that there's been some oddball people, you know, and this one lady just was not right. And bless her heart, she had a lot of trouble, and she was just, you know, going to kill a ghost with a gun and stuff, and none of that made sense to me.
Right, yeah,
and
that,
well,
yeah,
just
like
had
you
this,
could do that.
I had this bad feeling about it, so we didn't go. So there's been some scary times, too, you know, that I was afraid somebody might hurt my team or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a spirit guide that helps you with some of this stuff?
Several.
Okay.
My grandfather's one of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then I have two dogs that lived in this life with me. And I have connected in the last year with a couple of angel energies, which I wasn't into that before. You know, I believed in it, but it wasn't like my department. And so I got in and kind of got in with these archangels, a couple of those that I ask for protection and healing, different things from. And then there's a spirit guide from India from one of my lives back in 233 BC. Her name is Udi, and she helps me. And then I have an alien spirit guide named Hitor that I can access information through as well, because I believe in the alien, the bubblehead. Aliens, too.
The Greys.
I believe they're part of the Godhead. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
I brought that through from before, and I know they're part of it. Whether you want to call them angels, whatever, they are part of it.
Sure.
And, you know, and this is, I'll tell you what, it's an amazing place that we're living on.
Yeah.
And it's there's so many dimensions right here in this one. You know what I mean? It's all these multi-dimensions right here on this Earth. We can tap into them.
But I also think that Earth is a very difficult place to incarnate, but I think that we choose that so that we advance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Death isn't the hard part. You know, adapting to all this change and all these different levels of existence here.
Yes.
And trying to balance your spiritual life with your mundane, that's my thing, is trying to get that balance. You're always struggling with some type of balance here, I think.
Oh, God, yes. Balance is one of the key two things. I've had two key struggles in my life, faith and balance. So, yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
My wife keeps me very grounded.
What's that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just saying that my wife keeps me very grounded.
Oh,
that's good.
See, that's good. I have, of course, I'm such a busy person. I have teenage boys and balance. I have since I was a kid been striving for balance and struggling with faith. And you know, I do okay, but it's tough. So hey, I wanted to get to the what's that?
I think that in the realm that you're in, that's why, because there's so many different belief systems coming into it.
Sure.
Different possibilities of after this, you know, and that confuses our human brain, but your spirit always knows.
My spirit knows.
If you go within yourself, we have every question to every answer.
I know. When I get quiet and I actually listen to my gut or whatever it is, it's not necessarily my gut, but when I get quiet and I have I have some little Buddhist prayer beads, and I sort of start working with those, and I you know, maybe we'll do a few mantras for a few minutes, and then I know, and the answers are there. But sometimes it's still hard to get there. So
and it's whatever it takes to get you there. That's all that matters.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. So you have sent us some EVPs. So we're gonna bring Cheryl on to play them, and we only have three. So Rick. You know, no game tonight. We'll just...
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I lost a lot of stuff. Like, I lost my house and stuff, like I was telling you. And I lost a lot of evidence. And so somebody found a flash drive, and it had every clip on it. Thank God somebody found my flash drive. And it had a few EVPs, and so I pulled those off for you.
It was meant to be.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right.
And they're some of my favorites, too.
Oh, good. Okay, Cheryl?
Let's see here. We have.
So we actually don't say what it is ahead of time, Nick, just because we like to people to listen and try and get it first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, Chad's in my ear saying the show just cut off, so I'm not quite sure what is going on. We want to make sure we have the show on before we play EVPs. Can people in the chat room hear us?
They seem to hear us. They seem to still be able to hear us because they're talking about what we were talking about a minute ago. So, yeah.
Okay, it's back up.
Teresa says yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yay. Good. We're still going. Woo. Okay. So, yeah, Nick, like he said, he sent over three files. The first one I'm going to play is a relatively short clip. It's just over 2 seconds. And then we have two others. One's 9 seconds and one's 4 seconds. So we can play these and discuss them and then go back and play them some more. So, okay. So here comes the first one.
Need to hear it again.
Please.
Sounds like it says smoosh.
I hear something, but I can't make it out.
So what tell us the context of this. And
That one's actually Eva coming through saying, I'm Eva.
Okay.
Okay.
And that would be 2006. I picked her up at a house 30 miles from where I lived, and then she decided to go back home with me to Joplin.
And
that's the one that stayed for 8 months.
Okay.
Can we hear it again? Can we hear it again, Cheryl?
Okay.
Now, everybody hears something different. That's the beauty with EVPs.
I know.
What. Yeah.
So whatever you hear is what you're supposed to hear is what I believe.
No, I definitely hear I'm Eva. It's definitely a female voice.
Oh, sorry, my dogs are going off again. Sorry. can you hear it one more time, Cheryl? Oh, there I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to mute to listen to the next two because my dogs are barking and I don't want them to taint the audio because somebody just drove into the driveway and so they just can't help themselves but not shut up until, you know, this is all over. So, Cheryl, go ahead and do like the next couple. Rick will lead you through them.
Okay, here's the next one.
Okay. Okay, I hear something.
Help me!
Yeah, that sounds like a help me.
Yeah.
So what's the story
that's
behind
at my
that
new
one?
House. Well, the new house we moved to from the tornado stuff, the lady's husband had passed away, and we believe this could be him. We've seen him multiple times in the house, and so I was recording in the office one night. It was real quiet and stuff, and I got that help me. And so we tried to communicate, and we communicated through the RT-EVP and got that help me.
Okay. Can we hear
we
that again?
Sure.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, sorry, Nick.
No, it's fine.
Actually, it sounds like a please help me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different one. You actually got two different ones. You just played the third one.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I did that.
That one is please help me. The other one's help me, and then the last one's please help me.
Let me go back and play the right one. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oof.
Yeah, that one creeped me out. It creeped me out when I heard it.
Gives me the chills.
I still get creeped out.
Wow. Wait, I got to play that one more time.
No, oh, that was
You're
the third one.
You're going back and forth.
Oh my God, what is with me? You know, sorry. Sorry. Here we go.
Wow.
That one was unsettling, you know, because you could hear it in his breath and everything. I'm like, you don't have lungs, like you said in the voice box.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, here, let me play the third one since
I've
already
ruined
it.
Did you say that the husband died of cancer?
No, her husband died more in the grass.
Oh, okay.
He had a heart attack. And she sold us the house, and so he still messes around with the well house, and we see apparitions and stuff.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right, here, you want me to play the third one that I played twice already.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Okay, Siri, how? I swear, I just dragged over. Please help me. What am I doing?
That wasn't a please, though.
Okay, that was the right one right there. Now I know I got the right one.
There you go.
Yay!
That was my very first EVP ever.
Well, at least he's polite.
My goodness.
So there's
at least he's polite.
Somebody in the chat room said, so did you go back and try to help that person?
Yeah, it was in my own house. It's in the room my grandfather died in.
Okay.
Of the old house. And so, yeah, I tried to connect and communicate, couldn't get him to come back through. But so I got, like, thousands of spirits at that house.
So what do you think they're asking for when they, help.
I think it may have been residual from somebody that lived there before or something coming through, because I think the energy bounces in the room, you know, and it can loop. Mm-hmm. And so it could have been the man that used to live there before I lived there. And they say, you know, energy can bounce around for 100 years and then you can capture it. It can keep bouncing. And so I think it was probably residual because I couldn't get any interaction at all.
Right.
Okay. So if it was somebody visiting, you know, I used to have them visit a lot. But that one was the very first one I ever got. And I was doing a demonstration showing how the recorder worked when I captured it.
Those are the great ones when you, yeah.
Yeah.
The accidental EVP. The
yeah.
So when a spirit approaches you, mm-hmm. what's your first sign that they're there? How do you know that you're with a spirit?
Well, if I'm channeling, I call it bump me. They bump my energy. I feel something alter my energy field, just as if somebody came up and bumped me in the physical. I feel something mm-hmm. like that come into me. And then they'll give me a name. And it's boom. I start getting names. I'll start seeing pictures. It's like a movie in my head.
Okay.
So, but like when we're on investigation and I'm not meaning to channel or anything and I just feel something, I could just feel it when I walk in the room. I don't see them like my sister does. She sees them. I see auras and stuff, but I don't see like apparitions really unless it's out of the corner of my eye. I have the gift of hearing the spirits. My sister sees
you're,
them.
You're clairaudient. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm able to channel.
Yeah.
You know, like John Edwards, how he channels, that's basically how I channel.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I'm about as psychic as a, you know, as a rock, so, yeah. I don't want to say I've ever had that.
I said about 7 years ago, and look at it now, I'm in deep trouble.
I know. I think it's interesting that you mentioned your aura, because I actually, earlier, I was sitting here, and I was like, I need to know what color this guy's aura is. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to ask him that. And then you brought it up that you see auras. So
yeah,
what color is your aura?
Well, the closest to my body is a white light energy. And sometimes it changes to like a burgundy, but it depends on the mood too. And we've got different layers of the aura out. Those are like 12, 16 feet out. So there's many layers of the auric field, but I tend to see the closest to the body, the outline.
Okay.
I've seen pink, turquoise, different colors on people, depend on their mood, different things going on. If they're mm-hmm. ill, I'll see different colors. You know, it'll go to a certain chakra and tell us, you know, what's going on there.
Right. And
I teach people to just see the basic energy around their hands, and, you know. Mm-hmm.
So how does somebody learn to see an aura? Because you just said you teach people to see the energy around their hands. How do they do that?
The way I do it is I'll put like a black cloth on the wall. The easiest way is with a dark cloth. Put your hand up against the dark cloth and look. You got to train your eyes to look beyond the flesh into the spirit. And you spread your fingers apart and you just look up against that cloth and you'll see an outline around your fingers, a fuzzy white light. And that's how I teach people to see it. And there's been no one that could, you know, I put people that's never even seen them before and they could see it. So it's just a trick of the eye, trying to train your eye to see it. Once you see it, you'll always see it.
Okay.
It's like riding a bike. Once you do it, you know, just like when I got my first EVP, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get another one, you know. So once you get them, they'll just keep coming. And I thought, have I gone mad or something? What is going on? Why am I getting so many of these EVP things?
It's because you've opened yourself up to it.
Yeah, and then everybody's getting it. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. Everybody gets it.
At first,
I thought it was a big deal.
No, I understand. I'm very open when I investigate. As a matter of fact, a lot of people tell me I'm too open, but I get an insane amount of EVPs.
You had what, 15 in a matter of 10 minutes on that one, Karen?
Yes.
That was amazing.
I'm a ghost magnet. That's what I say. I'm a ghost magnet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a lot in common from what you're saying.
Sounds like it, yeah. And I had a little boy follow me home from like one of my favorite haunted places. Now I share him with a guy, Rob St. Helen. He goes to Rob's house sometimes, and he comes here sometimes. And he's been with me for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting what they'll tell you too, if you ask them.
Yeah.
Give you senses and psychically things. They'll hide things from you and play tricks on you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he does all of that. And he's very fascinated by my son as well. My son's 15, and I think what he's got is he's got the mom energy with me. He's got the dad energy with Rob when he goes to Rob's house. And then with my son Tanner, it's that big brother cool, you know. So it's pretty easy. Yeah, he's a pretty neat little kid. He's welcome here anytime. And I have people tell me all the time, you shouldn't invite this shouldn't,
Oh my God, my nephew's terrified of him. I take him, and he's so scary. They like to bother him. And we went on this investigation, and they get on him, and they just agitate him and scare him really bad, and he's 18.
Oh.
He doesn't like it. And his mother's, very much a medium, and she's like, she can shut it off. She's like, I don't want to deal with you. I'm going to bed. Don't shut it off completely. I have to think about something else,
I can almost never shut it off completely for very long because I can get that barrier up, but it starts to wear away, and if I'm tired or whatever, I can't get it back up. That sounds bad. I can't get my barrier back.
Yeah. You're a guy, it sounds worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Where are our minds on ghosts or gutters?
There you go. Well, usually I have 1 foot in each.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep the balance with the mundane.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Nick. Like with my little guy, he's 16 months old, and it's really kind of funny when we actually have two in our house, and it's really funny. He will start getting really chatty with them, and he smiles and he laughs, and they're obviously playing with him. It's very, very cute. But do you think that children are more open to this, and if so, why?
I believe certain age. I'd say probably up to 13 to when they start getting their own beliefs in place and stuff. I believe we're more pure energy. We're just taking in things from our parents and stuff, but even kids that have been abused are in tune with it, so it's that pure white light energy from the divine in the children that I think attracts the spirits, because they see that purity, and whether it's a negative or a positive, say, person, they're attracted to them, they're going to get through to them because they're easy. It's like an easy target, I think, because they're your energy to charge off of.
Well, I think there's more to it than that, too. Children, when they're very young, have not learned to employ all of the filters that we have. I mean, you know, we've been societally conditioned. And one of my struggles has been with faith. That has to do with societal conditioning. Because when I was a child, I mean, I can remember being 5 years old and having absolute belief in what I saw and what I experienced and what I felt. And somewhere between the age of 5 and 25, that went away. And, now at the age of 40-something, it's coming back.
Yeah. And I think some of that is fears, things that's happened to us and stuff. It gets blockage in the way of our beliefs. And I bet you a lot of people have gone through that.
Yeah.
And this time right now is is the best time to get into this stuff when everything, yep. I mean, everything is cosmically aligning and,
yes.
you know, crossing the Milky Way and all that stuff. We are really going through some big changes on Earth.
Yes.
And all this activity with the storms and different things that's happening. This mm-hmm. is the best time to get in tune with it if somebody's yep. waking up to it.
Yep.
This yeah. is your time to do it.
Yes, but don't you think some of it is also by spiritual design? I think that we're supposed to forget who we are so that we can get fully involved. Yeah, so that we can get fully involved in the experience that is being human.
Yeah, and I have trouble with that.
Yeah, me too.
memory
who doesn't?
Being somewhere else, not on this planet.
Yeah. Oh, you do. Know, you have spontaneous memories.
Alien energies, you know, I'm really connected to them, and I kind of feel sometimes like I was, you know, like my spirit guide told me, I was flying in a ship in 233 BC.
So
she said, you don't like to fly in airplanes because you crashed on the way to India in 233 BC, you know, on the way over there. And she said I wore a red cloak, like red clothes, and she yeah. described everything, showed me items from that time period. It was just amazing, the information she gave me. And she said, that's why you don't like planes, and I get in the plane, and I am afraid of planes.
I am too, that's funny, but I don't know about flying anywhere else, I'm just afraid of planes.
Love to fly.
I hate flying.
I fly, but I don't care for it.
I'll do it.
It feels strange to me.
Yeah.
It feels strange that I'm not navigating.
Okay.
So, you know, I've actually read and heard and also sort of believe this, that it's fairly rare that a soul will incarnate on Earth and also incarnate in different worlds. From what I understand, and I'm sort of referring to a lot of the, I don't know if you know who Dr. Michael Newton is, but I'm referring to a lot of his work that he's done.
Yeah, I've heard.
Mm-hmm. And the people that he talks to that have all these very similar experiences say that it's very rare that you are one of those hybrid souls that goes, you know, to one world and this one.
I don't know if it's rare, but it's definitely in me. All of my light workers that I work with feel the same way, like they have incarnated from another planet and this one is very foreign to them. A lot of people feel that way. And that's very spiritual. And a lot of people used to alter themselves on purpose because of it, you know, because mm-hmm. they couldn't deal with the here and the now. And so being placed in the here and the now, in the flesh, when you're used to communicating telepathically or without a body, really mm-hmm. confuses your spirit. So, yeah, I think that there's some kind of program. They try to remove the memories, but mm-hmm. then we get these floods of flashes of past lives, and it confuses our human, not our spirits, our human side, our ego. We're like, what the hell?
Yes.
We used to have yeah. another ego? What?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And then you get into Seth Speaks or something, you know, where Jane channeled Seth and Seth channeled
yeah.
him. Then you can go all into that, where she's channeling counterparts from other lives.
Yeah.
You can get people really confused.
Seth is interesting, yes. The Seth works are very interesting, as are the Emmanuel works and the Cryon works, and all of the channeled stuff is very fascinating to me.
But, I do.
Go ahead, Ray.
Most of them tell you to be like the children of the Earth. I noticed that some of these channelers coming through, they said, look at the children around you. What has happened to your adult? Why don't you go swing at the park anymore? Why do we put these limitations on ourselves?
Because we're busy working, always working. Because
right.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because we live in a consumer society, and we believe. Sorry, my flaming lib's about to come out.
That's okay.
We live in a consumer society, and we believe that what we are here for and what we're here to do is acquire stuff.
Yeah, that's not true. Mm. I lost everything. I can tell you that it's not about the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really makes you think twice about the stuff when you see everything on the ground. You're like,
I find it very interesting that today you are the second person today that I have talked to that lost all their stuff. Now, what that tells me is there is a message in there for me.
Yeah, and you know how some religions say don't attach to the like material stuff?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will just say that you're going to become a Buddhist. You lay everything down and just go and meditate by the Ganges or whatever, Ganges River.
Yeah, I never did that.
I think it's it's really taught me how to receive. By everything being pulled away, it teaches you how to receive, because if you're always a giver, you're really not receiving.
Yes.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But I always was a giver, and then to receive, you got to get knocked down.
Yes.
And I didn't think I was in my ego, but maybe I was too much in my ego, and it's like, okay. And the spirits told me why it happened. They said, we pulled everything back so you could see who you really were. They didn't say they took it. They said, we pulled it all back away from you.
Well, I can give you really what I think is just, this was when I realized that receiving is giving a gift as much as giving is. It's a different kind of a gift, but because a lot of people hate to receive because they feel like it's selfish or that you're needy or whatever. So my sister had breast cancer, and the doctors that she's a nurse and the doctors that she worked with wanted to buy her a wig. And she said, you know, I don't really want to wear a wig because it's just going to be uncomfortable and itchy. And that's not who I am. I said, so are you going to turn it down? And she said, no, I'm going to take it and I'm going to accept it. Who am I to not let them have the experience of giving me something if that's how they feel they want to support me? And something in me went, oh, because I've always been that person that, no, I don't need your help. I don't need this. No. And
I
realized what a gift it is, because that's ego. What a gift it is to let people give things to you, especially when you're always giving things to other people. People need to experience themselves as givers.
And I had to learn that the hard way through that experience that I went through, people feeding me in my yard when I had nothing and being, you felt low. But actually, you were receiving finally.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. We had a natural disaster here. I live in Chehalis, Washington. And about 7 or 8 years ago now, we had severe flooding at Christmas time. And I live up on a hill. We were fine. But I worked for 6 weeks in the center, the flood center in town, where people would come in who had lost everything. And the people would come into the center, and the first thing they would do is they would sit down and they would pull out their cell phones and they would show me pictures of everything that they'd had so that I knew that they weren't just some bum in looking for a handout. And that really
those kind of people are out there.
But trust me, they came into the center too, and then they took everything and traded it back in at Walmart and sold it for drugs. You know, I mean, so those people exist too, but the people that would the people that, and they profit off of disasters and tragedies. You probably saw that in Joplin.
We did.
Mm-hmm. But the people that actually came in and would sit down and they would show me what they had just so that I would know that it was okay that they were, and I never needed them to provide me with that, but they needed that validation just to be able to receive. It was eye-opening, and
I'm still learning. It's like it's still a learning process, because when you have any type of control issues when you're in the human self, ego, whatever you want to call it, letting go is the hardest thing. So letting go is like, oh, you're losing control. So then that puts you in a different place in your essence as a human.
Right. Well, I used to be the person who prayed for things that I wanted. And praise maybe not the right word, but I suppose I was raised in the Christian church. And so I would pray, please heal my grandfather, or please, please help me find a job, or that type of thing.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, there's been a shift. And now when I'm in meditation or talking to my spirit guides or things like that, what I ask for is, please bring about the manifestation of whatever the highest good is. And that's really changed my life.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, I think with that, you also kind of see the first noble truth being brought into play. Life is suffering. You know, there's going to be disappointment. Things are going to suck, you know, but there's a cessation of that suffering, the second noble truth, and you start to learn a little bit about that and about yourself as well.
When you stop struggling, and it's surrender. When you stop struggling and you surrender to what's around you, It makes things far more pleasant. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't struggle all the time. I'm still like a freaking fish on a hook a lot of the time.
Oh, totally.
Every once in a while, I have that moment where I remember that...
Where you're in awe?
Yeah, where I remember that I don't have to struggle, and it feels really good, and that I can just surrender to the universe. And then I have about 5 minutes where I feel just blissfully awesome, and then I go back to being the fish on the line again. So.
Exactly. Isn't that thing called life, I guess? I guess I'm learning.
Yeah. I know.
You know, I had gotten really good at being in the spirit realm all the time and not having to be here. I had learned how to function here and be in the cosmos. And then that's why I got my wake-up call. They were like, we need you here.
Yeah. See, and that's...
there all the time.
That's one of the things that I actually say to people, and people look at me like I'm nuts. I don't live in my body. Occasionally I do, but most of the time I don't, because I'm not here. I'm elsewhere. And when I'm with my child or with my husband, things like that, I work at being here. But most of the time, I'm not here.
Yeah.
It's not the most pleasurable planet I've been on, that's for sure. And there's some good things. I like chocolate, you know.
Oh, chocolate!
The chocolate, the trees. It's beautiful here. Don't get me wrong. We love it, but it can bite you in the ass too. That's for sure.
Yep. Well, so Nick, you wrote an article for Paranormal Underground magazine. It was in November of 2011, I think. And
yeah,
can go and read that now. And did you mention a book as well?
Sure, yeah, I've got two books. Okay. The first one was kind of like a guidebook on how to record EVPs. It's just an EVP guidebook, and it has a picture of Edison, because, you know that fable that everybody talked about, Edison had something to do with EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those where you don't know whether to believe it or not, but I liked the way it looked, and he was cool, so he's on there. It was kind of an experimental little handbook.
Yeah.
And it's electronic voice phenomena. And then the Mini Messages is our 2009 publication, and it's me and Jackie Colligan. And she's the oldest EVP specialist that I know. She's like 78 now.
Right.
And she is so knowledgeable. She's taught me so much since I met her. And I've never physically met her, but we've become best friends in the last 4 years. And she's an amazing woman, and I've just been blessed to have her in my life. And she's listening tonight.
So that's Mini Messages.
Yeah, the Mini Messages.
Okay. And are those available at, like, in bookstores, Amazon.com, things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's online. Great. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people will look for those. And your website?
Yeah, it's at www.jasperhaunts.com.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. I will tell you, I've been sort of looking in the chat room, and I think that it's really interesting, because I think what you're saying is relatable to a lot of people.
Yes, very.
So
that's good. If there's, and like you said, we want to help. And so if there's any questions or anything that we can help with, let's do it. You know, that's why we're here.
All right.
Help each other.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's Nick Corey. It's Jasper Haunts.
Thank you.
Yeah. No,
thank you, Nick.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. So that was Nick Corey of Jasper Haunts. And, I liked the conversation. That he's got such a wonderful, mellow, kind of laid back and really giving vibe.
I that was definitely one of the most peaceful conversations that we've had with somebody. I mean, it's like you could tell that he has a natural peacefulness about him, and I really like talking to people like that, because you don't get that these days.
No. Me too. He was a really great guest, and Cheryl, as always, he is welcome back anytime.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Without reservation.
Wonderful discussion. The chat room's just crowded.
Yeah,
and we've been talking about such.
Speaking of welcome back anytime, for all of you who are listening, this is really something special coming up next week as well. We are going to be talking to possibly one of the most awesome human beings we know, as far as in the paranormal field. It's Neil McNeil. He has such great insight. It's like talking to Lloyd Auerbach, really, except for he's got like more mellow of a voice. He has a voice made for radio, Neil does. And Neil also does Reiki and energy healing. And I thought it might be kind of fun when we talk to Neil next week to talk a little bit about Reiki and energy healing, because we tend to go to the paranormal side and we sort of forget the spiritual and metaphysical side. And I think we brought them together tonight with Nick.
Yeah.
Yes.
And clearly, I lean more towards a spiritual interpretation of the paranormal as opposed to a scientific one.
I'm just a dude trying to figure it out. You know,
I'm willing to embrace all of that. So I'd like to talk to Neil next week a little bit about the Reiki, if everybody's good with that.
Sure. I would love listening to that.
Yeah, also the chakras and, you know, and how our energy works around our body and that type of stuff, because I think that the time is right. I think that I do agree with what Nick was saying, that this is the time. Things are changing. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people waking up, and this is the time.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Rick sounds skeptical. Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say, wow, this is so weird. Didn't we have this conversation once before? I'm like experiencing some serious deja vu right now.
That means you're where you're supposed to be, or there's a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, either one. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to take the red pill. But it's not really so much that I'm skeptical, because I like to think of myself as being a very open-minded person, and I'm not a skeptic. I am a true
believer. And you're a Buddhist, dude.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's like, you hear so much of this stuff, you know, about the 2012 and things are coming together. And I got a friend of mine who's Mexican, and he claims some, you know, Mayan ancestry. And he says that, you know, the whole 2012 thing is kind of a way to sell book to American New Agers.
I wasn't actually going to say it had to do with 2012, but I've seen a lot of people whose consciousness has been rising. Sure. That's all. Okay. And yeah. You know, including my own, things just have started to gel for me, and I've seen that happen with other people as well in a spiritual sense. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, like with me, I don't, you know, like I was saying, I'm just a dude that's trying to figure it out. I don't claim to be a scientist, and I don't have my head completely in the clouds. I like to think of myself as like just being that guy that's right there in the middle.
That's the whole Buddhist way now.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, even before I had, you know, converted to, you know, Pure Lands Buddhist, I was still like that even then. You know, even as a 15-year-old kid, when I was, you know, really starting to get into the investigation part of it, I was just like, man, I'm just a guy, you know, and I think that we all need to have that mind about ourselves.
Sure.
And that's what Nick has. He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. That's right. Okay, so do we have anything else?
Yeah, we talked about it just briefly, I believe, but I want to direct the listeners to paranormalunderground.net. If you click on magazine and then magazine archive, go to the November 2011 issue. Nick has written for us, and in that issue you can read, he talked about it tonight, but you can read in the personal experiences section his article on the Prosperity School Bed and Breakfast investigation.
And yeah, and Cheryl put the link to the Prosperity School My Ghost Story in the chat room, and you can probably just go to YouTube and search My Ghost Story Prosperity School and find it as well. Rick's not kidding. It's a very impressive piece of video evidence. It's amazing.
It's astonishing. I think it's great.
I have not come up with a way to be skeptical about it. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Well, also you can go to jasperhaunts.com, I believe Nick said, and you can get to all of that video material on that website.
Yes,
so that's another
location
you can go to. But yeah, so everybody can read that article for free at paranormalunderground.net. And then I just wanted to give a personal thank you to Nick for joining us tonight, letting us play some of his EVPs and sharing his story with us. And I really hope that we could talk to him again.
Oh, I do too. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed him a lot. And you know, I always like any guest who's willing to come on and understand that we don't do a traditional interview format here. That we're more like friends having coffee.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, good flow, good conversation tonight. The chat, like I said, the chat room was packed. And I'll just give a quick shout out to a few people who stuck with us during the show. We have Teresa. Almost Hunted, Jenny from Valley Ghost Hunters, Chris from Valley Yay. Ghost Hunters. We Yay. Have Sapphire One, Pistols mm-hmm. Ryan,
Rob
from what does that stand for? Oregon Ghost Society.
Oregon Ghost Society.
Yeah, we had so many more, but thank you everyone for joining us. And next week we'll be talking with Neil again, as Karen just said, and that's going to be part two of our conversation with him. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, tune in for that, because Neil's great. Yeah. Love yeah. Neil. when I saw him this last weekend, it was almost like I was, you know, seeing Mick Jagger or Eddie Vedder or something. I was, Neil!
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about Reiki and all that good stuff with him. So
yeah, me too, definitely. Okay, so I think that might be all we've got going on tonight, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Rick, about the EVP failure on my part. Let's do it next week if we can.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. And I also saw a request for speed round.
Yeah.
And I'll see what I can come up with. And Yay. I also am, just so y'all know, working on a new Real Men of Genius commercial as well.
Oh, can't wait. Love it.
Yes.
That's right. And so Wade West, Teresa's husband, has agreed to sing for us again. So it's all going to be good. Oh, look at Rob's in the chat room saying Eddie. He knows my secret love for Eddie Vedder. It's my not so secret love for Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are just about out of time. Hey, join us next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. This is Paranormal Work. Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Good night, you guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z Talk Radio Network.